Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Lethal doses of morphine are what authorities say a New Orleans doctor and two nurses used on some hospital patients in the days after Hurricane Katrina. They are now facing four counts of murder. What the attorney general stresses is not a case of mercy killings. All were booked and released on personal recognizance bonds. According to the arrest warrants, the three also used large doses of a sedative to kill four patients at Memorial Medical Center. The hospital had no power after Katrina hit. Temperatures inside soared past 100 degrees as conditions deteriorated. Patients waited 4 days to be evacuated. During that time, at least 34 died. Evacuating Americans from Lebanon. 320 Americans have now left Beirut. 120 flown out. 200 more boarded a chartered ship, taking some Europeans out. The U.S. ambassador says he expects 1,000 Americans will get out tomorrow by ship. They're supposed to go on a chartered cruise ship called the Orient Queen, which has finally arrived after some delays. U.S. authorities say they are considering renting 4 or 5 more cruise ships because hundreds more Americans are waiting in frustration for the U.S. to take them out of Lebanon to Cyprus. Rockets fired by guerrillas in Lebanon hit several cities and towns in northern Israel today. The rocket attacks on northern Israeli towns came after Israeli airstrikes raised the death toll in Lebanon to at least 226. With international diplomats struggling over ceasefire prospects, Israeli officials say their Lebanese offensive could last weeks and involve ground forces. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert told UN envoys Israel will continue to combat Hezbollah until 2 Israeli soldiers are freed and Israeli citizens are safe from rocket attacks. In Iraq today, at least 53 people died when a suicide car bomber detonated explosives across from a Shiite shrine. The local governor says day laborers who'd been looking for work were gathered on a corner across from the shrine. A minivan drove up. The driver said he had work. Men piled in. Then the driver blew up the minivan. A UN report says nearly 6,000 civilians were slain in Iraq in May and June. The report from the UN Assistance Mission in Iraq describes a wave of lawlessness and crime, including assassinations, bombings, kidnappings, and torture that coincided with the spike in deaths. The UN suggests positive steps by the government to promote national reconciliation. This is Air America Radio News.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you stick around for a while. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com will be joining us in a few minutes as a follow-up to our conversations with Robert Kennedy, Jr., Greg Palast, and Mike Papantoni about voter fraud and the Diebold voting machines. He's going to call us from San Diego's Democracy Fest 2006 with a report on that event. And we have some must-hear audio from Foxy, the Snowman's press briefing on the day after Bush's brilliant G8 commentary yesterday. Some audio you're going to find interesting, I'm sure. Before we get to those items, and then the rest of the evening will be focused on the events that are continuing in Gaza, Israel, and Lebanon. We have a couple of other items. Today was primary day here in Georgia, and that's one of the issues that we're talking about with Brad Friedman, I'm sure. I've said before, I live in Cynthia McKinney's district, and when, going in today to the polling place where Kathy and I have gone for the past 6 years, I had an urge for one of the poll workers to ask me for photo ID. That law was passed by the Georgia General Assembly, which is controlled by Christian fanatics and conservatives who cannot govern under any circumstances. But a couple of federal judges have put a hold on it because anything having to do with voting rights in, I think, 8 or 9 states in the South that have a long, sordid history of interfering with people's rights to vote, mostly the African-American rights to vote. But any changes to anything has to be approved by the Justice Department, and this was prior to its being enacted into law. This was not approved by the Justice Department. It was passed by the psychotic, out-of-control Republican Georgia General Assembly, and it's been held up now on appeal. So, knowing that when I walked into the polling place, so I was kind of hoping that maybe one of the poll workers, especially one of these old sour-looking Republicans, would say to me, I'm sorry, your photo ID card's not enough. We need to see photo ID. At that point, I would have used a couple of Bush or Cheney expletives on him and probably been arrested, and Kathy would have come in tonight and said, well, Mike can't do the program. But that didn't happen. And when I voted with these horrendous Diebold, I hate to touch these things, these machines. Every time I have used them now, which has been since the 2002 off-year elections, don't forget, Georgia was the first place that every single precinct had these abominations. But every time I touch the screen, I feel like I'm touching the ass of Satan or something. It's just horrific. But I voted for Cynthia, and at the end of your ballot selections, a screen comes up that shows you the final, what you voted for. Now, the complaints coming out of Georgia early today were that as these final tallies came up on your screen about what you just voted for, there were a series of complaints of people who voted for Cynthia whose votes were shifted to somebody else, a different Democratic. This is a Democratic primary. They were shifted to somebody else. That didn't happen with me, but I'll tell you, even more, this time especially, using these machines, it occurs to me how fruitless the whole process is. You know, I'm standing there, touching a screen, getting a little electronic flashes, and I have no earthly idea what's being recorded as my vote. None whatsoever. A couple of years ago, when we had punch card ballots here in Georgia, at least there was a sense of, okay, I'm voting. By God, I fold the card, I put it in the ballot box, and I know somebody's going to count it. These god-awful things, these machines, if there is any hope of restoring representative government in this country, it is going to require the destruction of every one of these machines. And I, frankly, at this point, don't care who destroys them. I'd be more than willing to take a sledgehammer to as many as I could destroy before the police got me. This is insane to use these things. So we'll be talking with Brad about that a bit, too. God, speaking of primary day here, Suzanne in L.A. writes, good evening, Mike. Guess every state has its fair share of unbelievably lost-their-way representatives in Congress. But Georgia Congressman Phil Gingrich rates pretty high with everything that's going on in the world. Did you catch him droning on and on about the need for the United States to stand up to the world and show it our values by passing a ban on gay marriage? I hope he doesn't represent your family. No, he doesn't. Cynthia McKinney is our representative. Yeah, I know Phil Gingrich. He's just a total ass. All of these, every single member of the Georgia delegation that is Republican, which is all but about three, I think. John Lewis, Cynthia McKinney, and Kathy, who's the third one, who's a Democrat. I'm drawing a blank. Every single Republican that represents any district in Georgia is a freak, an absolute freak. Most of them are hillbillies of the highest order, kind of like the Zell Miller kind of hillbilly. Just absolute junk. Every one of them. They are pure junk. And they appeal to the most base fears and prejudices of the so-called Christians in the state of Georgia, and that's how they get elected. Oh, and some of them promise that they would do everything they possibly can to make sure that Israel can kick anybody's ass on the planet. And that gets them a few extra votes, I guess. But most of these guys, and they're almost, I think every one of them is a male, white male, they are liars, they're cheats, they're sneaks, and they can't govern. So there's, I understand, Suzanne, there's Phil Gingrich standing there today talking about the world needs to know America's values. We're not going to let the queers get married. Jesus, I hate these people. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much? But anyway, the House rejected this proposed constitutional amendment to ban gay marriages today. Now, conservatives, of course, love it. They're glad that it got defeated by a vote of 236 to 187. House Speaker Dennis Hastert, this bloated former wrestling coach from Illinois, whose heart must be about the size of a basketball from all the extra weight he carries around and the crud that must be creeping into his arteries. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just wishful thinking. He says, be assured that this issue's not over. Yeah, they always beat up on the queers, Dennis. That's good. That's a good thing to do. Just keep doing it, you old bastard, you. All of you people that keep bringing this up because you know that it just reaches down the throats of these Christian conservatives and grabs their spleen and just shakes them to their foundation. Gay marriage! Can't let the queers get married! Oh, my God! Can't have stem cell research! Hell no! God put you here to suffer, you sons of bitches! You're queer? Suffer! You got Alzheimer's? Suffer! You got cancer? Suffer! Don't you know the rapture's coming? Sick, 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 sick. Supporters of this gay marriage ban said that Congress had to trump the actions of activist judges around the country who ruled in favor of gay marriage. They didn't rule in favor of gay marriage, you half-witted toads. They ruled in favor of equal rights. Jesus. Joe Pitts, a representative from PA in this filthy, degenerate debate in the House, yesterday and today said, we must not allow an institution of such great importance to be arbitrarily redefined for the entire nation by a small number of unelected judges. Oh, I get so sick of these people. Why aren't they thrown out of office, these conservatives? Because they can't govern. What does it take? What does it take for your average garden variety American conservative to realize that he or she keeps sending into office punks, liars, cheats, and sneaks who are working against the interests, except for the rapture nonsense, of Joe and Judy Republican? What is wrong with Joe and Judy Republican? Why don't they get it? Why don't I ask a question that has an answer to it, right? Oh, and there's another one. It's not all Republicans who are insane. I've got a Democrat for you, other than Hillary Clinton. And this is a Democrat in the House. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Oh,
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
My dream is that there be a Palestinian state living side by side in peace with Iraq.
Don't you care?
It's about 22 past the hour. Again, there are a couple other issues I want to touch on before we get to Brad Friedman and the killing that's going on in the Middle East. Excuse me. It's not just Republicans, members of Congress from the South who are insane. There are Democrats from the South who are insane also. One of them is Representative Lincoln Davis, a Democrat from Tennessee. On the House floor today, Davis said he was opposed to the amendment banning gay marriage only because it didn't go far enough. Davis said Congress should, quote, outlaw divorce in this country and outlaw adultery and make it a felony, end quote. In addition, Davis said, quote, we should also prevent those who commit adultery or get a divorce from running for office, end quote. Davis said it was important to quote, go after the other threats to the institution, not just threat from homosexuals. Now, whether or not this guy is being funny, Lincoln Davis, which or ironic, or trying to make a point, I don't know. I don't know this guy. Never heard of Lincoln Davis, Democrat from Tennessee. But on the face of this report, I don't think he's kidding. Now there are currently at least 30 divorced members of Congress, and there's no official data on how many of these bastards have committed adultery. Not just the 30, but all 435 of them, or 535 of them. But here's what he said today. Marriage is for life, and this amendment needs to include that basic tenet. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, I think we should expand the scope of the amendment to outlaw divorce in this country. Going further, Mr. Speaker, I believe in fidelity. Adultery is an evil that threatens the marriage and the heart of every marriage, which is commitment. How can we as a country allow adulterers to go unpunished and continue to make a mockery of marriage? Again, by doing so, what lessons are we teaching our children about marriage? I certainly think that it shows we are not serious about protecting the institution, and this is why I think the amendment should outlaw adultery and make it a felony. Additionally, Mr. Speaker, we must address spousal abuse and child abuse. Think of how many marriages end in a divorce or permanent separation because one spouse is abusive. And, Mr. Speaker, I personally think child abuse may be the most despicable act one can commit. This is why, if we are truly serious about protecting marriage to the point we will amend the Constitution, we should extend the punishment of abuse to prevent those who do such a hideous act from ever running for an elected position anywhere. We should also prevent those who commit adultery or get a divorce from running for office. Mr. Speaker, this House must lead by example. If we want those watching on C-SPAN to actually believe we are serious about protecting marriage, then we should go after the other major threats to the institution, not just the threat that homosexuals may someday be allowed to marry in a state other than Massachusetts. An elected official should certainly lead by example. Now, as I read that, as you hear that, there's a lot in there that I could certainly agree with. I think spousal abuse ought to be punished by long terms in prison. I think child abuse ought to be punished by longer terms in prison. I really do. I'm not talking about zygote abuse or fetus abuse or sperm abuse or fertilized egg abuse. I'm talking about child abuse. So I don't know where this guy is coming from. I can't figure it out. Whether he truly sees homosexual unions as a threat to marriage, which is that's why I think he's as insane as Phil Gingrey, because in order to accept the idea that homosexual marriage is a threat to heterosexual marriage, you must be insane. You have to start from the premise that you're crazy. If you are crazy, then that makes sense. Right? That a couple of gay folk forming a civil union or a marriage is a religious tradition or it's a religious event that has to be sanctioned by the state. So if a church or a synagogue or a temple or a mosque doesn't want to sanctify a marriage, so what? Who cares? But the state, you see? Whether that state is Massachusetts or Georgia or Oregon, it doesn't make any difference. The state has no business saying, no, we're not going to make legal. We'll make any other contract legal as long as it is not, the contract is not so out of proportion as to injure one of the parties signing assigning to it. We'll go ahead and make that contract legal. But if two gay people decide to make a contract of living together, you're not playing that, of living together and sharing their lives together, oh no, that's a threat to marriage. You people make me sick. You anti-gay people just enrage me. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait till you go to your hell and find out that Satan is queer. That's going to be a trip.
This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage. It's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try to separate them. It's an illusion. Try and...
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
goes out to the one I love. This one goes out to the one I've left behind.
Governments don't love. Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
My time.
Yeah, okay.
Goes out to the one I love. Fire!
It's about 25 before the hour. A little good news and a little indefinite news from here in the Georgia primary. Ralph Reed has had his ass handed to him. He was defeated by Casey Cagle, who is, you know, a typical right-wing Republican Christo-fascist, but not of the ilk of Ralph Reed. Ralph Reed has conceded the race for lieutenant governor of Georgia. Hopefully he will wind up on the ash heap of history or in a prison somewhere. So, and thanks to Willie T, who emailed this to me from Sacramento. Thanks for the information about my own lieutenant governor's race down here. I had no idea. So, in the Republican primary for lieutenant governor, Ralph Reed has gone down in a pile of muck and filth and dirt and undigested burps. You know, what a thug. Cynthia McKinney, however, it's a different story. She is in second place in a field of three. Hank Johnson has 49% of the vote. Cynthia McKinney has 42% of the vote, with 28% of the precincts reporting. Now, this is bad because there were early reports today. As a matter of fact, let's just bring Brad on here. Brad Friedman checking in with us from L.A. Brad, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Most people know who you are. That's why I didn't come up with a big, long introduction. Go to bradblog.com if you don't know who my guest is. Most people who listen to this program will know damn good and well who you are. But if you don't know Brad Friedman, go to his blog site, bradblog.com. Check it out and make yourself familiar with it. You had reports posted on your blog site today, didn't you, that Hank Johnson, some people reporting that their votes for Cynthia were turning up for Hank Johnson. Is that right?
Yeah, we got reports early on. Actually, before I answer that, did I hear you say earlier in the show that you voted on the Diebold touchscreen system and it felt like you were touching Satan's ass,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Why are
right.
you so cruel to Satan?
I don't know. I guess because I don't believe in any of that garbage, but it did. It had a real slick feel, like I would imagine Satan's ass would feel.
I see. In any case, yeah, we've been getting reports all morning, and actually I didn't even get to bed till 6 a.m. out here last night. And just before I went to bed, I got a note from McKinney Camp that they were already getting reports this morning of what has become far too common now in these elections, where we see this vote hopping, this vote flipping, where they go in to try to vote for one candidate, and the other one comes up. And when this happens, it always seems to go only one way.
Right.
So it was, you know, people trying to vote for McKinney. It would flip to Hank Johnson, according to those reports. And so far, we've yet to hear any reports that were the other way around, where they're trying to vote for Hank Johnson and it jumps over to Cynthia McKinney.
Isn't that funny? Now, for people who don't know Georgia politics, Hank Johnson is a Democrat, too. This is the Democratic primary for District 4 Congress. But when I voted today, like you may have heard, the kid was taking a nap, so I had to go, and then Kathy went, or vice versa. So, and neither one of us, when we voted for McKinney, And the ballot came up showing what we had voted for, all the issues and all the people we had voted for. It still remained at McKinney. Now, what happens after that, I don't know.
Well, that's it. It doesn't really matter what it says.
It makes no difference.
In your state, because
right.
you've got, we're fighting some incredible problems out here right now in California concerning this Busby Bilbray race to replace Duke Cunningham down in San Diego, and they also use, it's an all Diebold county, but at least they use Diebold optical scan, which isn't much better, and I can explain why, but they also use the Diebold touchscreens that have paper audit trails, which are also somewhat useless by and mm-hmm. large. On the other hand, all of that is better than what you guys have out there in Georgia.
Oh, it's horrifying. We have nothing. You stand there. They give you a little a card with a magnetic strip. You insert it into the machine. The machine lights up, gives you your instructions, and you start touching the screen. When you're finished, a master screen comes up and shows you everything you voted for, if it hasn't been flipped at that point. And then you touch finish, and you walk away, and you hand one of the precinct workers the little magnetic stripe card.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some 1980s era video game.
It's horrific. You have no way, zero. It is impossible to prove that the way you voted is the way that it was actually recorded.
Right.
The Board of Elections can't do it. And if there's a close race, there is nothing to go back and recount. They simply hit the same machine, the same button again. It's extraordinary. In Georgia and Maryland, really, were the two original Diebold showcase states that allowed this to go on. And I mean, you guys, as far as I'm concerned, you know, democracy is done down there in Georgia.
Right. It simply doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's a fraud, a hoax, and a myth. And the only reason Kathy and I continue is going on what Greg Palast said: make them steal it. Turn out by the millions. Make the bastards steal it if they're going to steal it.
You have to.
Yeah.
And the voter ID nonsense that's been going on down there in Georgia is almost beside the point when you're dealing with this crazy system that you guys have in place. Finally, I'm hoping, though, people are beginning to notice what the hell is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing more and more reports on this, and even from right wingers. Lou Dobbs has been reporting on this now for the past month. I was on, believe it or not, of all places, Roger Hedgecock, who, he sits in for Rush Limbaugh quite frequently. He's got a show down in San Diego. He makes Ann Coulter seem like Cindy Sheehan, yet he got it. And, when I talked to him about what happened in this Busby Bilbray business with these sleepovers of these voting machines, Diebold voting machines, he said, you're right. This is absolutely insane.
For people who don't know, Brad, what a sleepover is, that's when the precinct workers take home active voting machines?
Yeah. They've been, they send home these these programmed election-ready voting machines with the poll workers, and they...
Why do they take them home? What's the point there?
Well, this is actually, it's been done for years, because this is the way that they used to deploy these voting machines to make sure that they were there, first thing in the morning on election day. The problem is, in just the past few months, we've now confirmed dozens of vulnerabilities, specifically in the Diebold voting machines, that allow them to be hacked in less than 2 minutes' time, no password necessary. This is on both the optical scan and touchscreen, although the touchscreen is even far worse. So they came out with a new emergency security mitigation requirements at both the federal level and the state level in just the past few months. That said, you've got to up the security for the storage of these systems, which was then completely ignored when the Registrar of Voters down here, Michael Haas, in San Diego, sent these voting machines home in the first federal election of the year and the first one to be run since these new requirements have been put in place. They're running around saying, oh, this is, we used to do this all the time. Yeah, they did, but it didn't used to matter.
Right.
Now it does, and when they sent them home, they breached security, which means they automatically became decertified at both the state and federal level. So essentially, every vote that occurred in that Busby Bilbray important bellwether race for this November was essentially cast on a decertified machine and was therefore an illegal vote.
Oh, Jesus.
And there's no way, in the meantime, to prove that the numbers they reported are accurate. It's like, if you had a blood sample from a crime scene and you sent it home with a worker for a week to keep it in his car or his garage, and they'd laugh it out of court if you tried to bring it into the crime lab or anything else. That's what we've got here with these machines, since it's now been proven that if you can game one of the machines, it can then affect every other machine in that race. It's not a conspiracy theory if it only takes one person, Mike, and that's what's going on here.
Well, right, and that's what irritates me about so-called mainstream media treating the theft of people's votes as some sort of conspiracy theory for the past 5 years. This involves a computer technology and math. And if that's a conspiracy theory, then, people that believe in representative government are guilty, I guess. Let me ask you this. We'll come back to that. But this Democracy Fest, this is the third one in San Diego, right?
I think they were held elsewhere before. It was the first one that I attended. This one was in San Diego over the weekend.
Right, the third annual, and this one in San Diego. That started as a Howard Dean event?
I think it did. It is sponsored by DFA, which used to be Dean for America, I guess, and now it's Democracy for America, and it's actually run by his brother, Jim Dean.
Right. Now, I have to plead ignorance here. I've been focused on this ongoing situation in the Middle East and in Iraq. What is Democracy Fest in San Diego? Just give us a sketch here.
Yeah, well, it's largely a gathering of grassroots activists who come together really from all over the country for panels and workshops. And I spoke on the election integrity panel out here, and they had a big concert on Saturday night with where Howard Dean spoke and Al Franken spoke and Mark Maron and Paul Hackett and a bunch of folks. And it's, you know, it's just an event to gather to deal with how to move forward the progressive agenda, essentially. Mm-hmm.
All right, you hear the music. Let me do some. Do a commercial break here, Brad, and then we'll come back. You can stick around a little bit.
I'd love to.
Okay, stay where you are. We'll be right back. We're talking with Brad Friedman, who is whose website bradblog.com is one of the most visited on the internet. And who has also become one of the go-to guys about this entire issue of voter fraud. Stick around. We'll continue this in a moment. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
We'll be right back.
patients.
Is he saying elections or erections, Kathy? I have no idea. It's 10 before the hour. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. I'm talking with Brad Friedman, who's calling in from Los Angeles or San Diego?
Los Angeles.
From Los Angeles. He is the man at bradblog.com. And again, most of the people who listen to this program are familiar with that site. But if you're not, please go there every day. Go there every day. All right, Democracy Fest, you were involved in this. To what extent was the focus on these abominable machines that are used in so many states and so many precincts around the country?
Well, I tell you, it was very interesting because the that whole special election, the U.S. House election, the Busbee-Bilbray election, was in San Diego. Really, it was a coincidence because Democracy Fest had been planned for San Diego some months before. So it was really, I guess we'll call it kismet that it ended up being in San Diego, the very heart of what I believe, frankly, is the most important, frankly, the last, best, and only chance to achieve any kind of real election reform between now and November is highlighting what happened in that San Diego race, trying to bring it to court. We're trying to raise the money. The Democrat, believe it or not, the DNC came out on Friday calling for a complete hand count of all 150,000 ballots in that election. And that's, you know, unheard of for the DNC to get involved in these sorts of things. So it's really bad. And the fact that, DemFest just happened to be in San Diego was, I guess, a lucky coincidence. The result, though, I think was that these issues of electoral integrity really underscored the entire 3 days out there, beginning with, Franken was broadcasting from San Diego, from the DemFest, and he started talking about it. He had a guest, and they began talking about this Busbee-Bilbray race and began to refer to Bilbray as having won, and frankly, the crowd went nuts, and they started booing the guest who was talking about why Bilbray won, when the fact of the matter is nobody to this day, Mike, can prove that Brian Bilbray won that race.
I'm just curious, what was Al Franken's position when the guest was talking about Bilbray won?
Well, there was a lot of people yelling and screaming, and he was, let's say, hedging his bets. For whatever reason, I was down there. He decided not to have me on to talk about this, but he was hedging his bets and saying, people here in the House seem to feel that perhaps the election was not clean in the race, and the audience went crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to take that attitude when he runs for the Senate in Minnesota, and any sort of touchscreen voting apparatus that are used there start to trend away. You know, if exit polling or pre-election polling shows Al Franken with a lead, and then all of a sudden he loses it. I wonder if the attitude will be the same.
Well, you know, that's what's really bizarre about this. I've been on this beat, as I'm sure you know, since the early morning hours, frankly, of November 3rd, 2004.
Right.
And I'm puzzled by a lot of the attitude from other progressive bloggers, from the Democratic Party, certainly from the DLC types out there who seem to be sort of whistling past the graveyard here that everything is fine, nothing to worry about, and yet the evidence keeps mounting and mounting. I mean, at an alarming rate. You've even got, the Washington Post now writing an article just last week saying that a single person can reverse an election. So these guys who haven't been getting it, who thought it was conspiracy theory or nonsense, are quickly becoming the minority, and I think that the Americans in general. Look, Lou Dobbs did a quick poll the other night, said, should we end the use of electronic voting machines until we can guarantee their security? And the response came back 97% to 3. and he's no lefty moonbat.
No, not at all. Well, I agree with you. I can't understand why so many so-called progressives, especially those in media, whether it's talk radio or print or what little bit of liberal television commentary is available, why they haven't accepted the truth of this matter. What the hell does it take? I was bad enough in 2000 with Choice Point and the purging of the voter rolls and the fraud that occurred there. It was bad enough in 2002 here in Georgia. It was horrifying in Ohio in 2004. What do these people need?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, because I'm talking about my, you know, even my colleagues, my liberal progressive blogger colleagues who seem to be, look, they're very concerned about the issues that are on the table. We all need to be. However, ultimately, if you can't vote the bad guys out, all the talk in the world about the issues and, you know, the votes left and right and all that nonsense, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
And that's really the bottom line that I've been, you know, the case that I've been trying to make for 2 years. It doesn't matter. You've got to put integrity of the system first, and you got to take on, even if it's Democrats. Look, it was your Democratic Secretary of State out there, Kathy Cox.
Oh, I know. Who apparently is going to be defeated in the Democratic primary for governor. Thank God.
What a pity.
And it was Kathy Cox who refused to open her eyes. The irony here is almost so thick you can cut it. If Kathy Cox loses the Democratic primary because of vote tampering, and I'm not suggesting that Mark Taylor, who is going to whip her ass, who I happen to support in the Democratic primary. I've got some reservations about him as a progressive Democrat, but I'm going to support him anyway. If Kathy Cox has any sort of suspicion whatsoever tomorrow morning that some of these machines might not have recorded the way they were supposed to, and that cost her the election, or came close to costing her the election, the irony is going to be so thick you couldn't walk through it.
Well, because she is on the brochure of for Diebold, and I'm sure she'll have an entire paying job if she doesn't win today.
All right, can you say, I'll tell you what, let's do another 5 minutes or 6 minutes, but we have to do this top of the hour break, all right?
As long as you need me.
All right, stay right there. We'll come back to Brad Friedman. During the break here, go to his website, take a look at what he's got there, and this is a site you should visit every single day, bradblog.com. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. A new report says subtle variations of the paper ballots used in Cuyahoga County in Ohio in the May primary election made them unreadable to optical scanners and caused lengthy delay in counting the votes. It was the county's first election using Diebold's touchscreen and optical scan voting systems. SysTest Labs, a Denver-based company hired by the county to find the source of the problem, determined the ballots were similar to the format recommended by the Ohio Secretary of State staff. However, black line separating sections were thicker than on the Cuyahoga County ballots than on those used elsewhere in Ohio, where the scanners could read the ballots with no problem. SysTest also reported that Diebold did not warn customers that using thicker black lines would create problems. Opponents of electronic voting allege the machines are open to computer hackers prone to errors that could assign votes to the wrong candidate. Lawsuits have been filed over their use in a number of states. It was George Bush's decision to stop the investigation of domestic spying without warrants, according to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. It was Bush who blocked Justice Department lawyers from pursuing an internal investigation of the Bush administration's warrantless eavesdropping program. Earlier this year, the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility announced it could not carry out an investigation into the role of Justice Department lawyers in putting together the program. They said they couldn't get the necessary security clearance. Today, Gonzalez told a Senate panel George Bush would not grant the access that would be needed for the investigation to go forward. Under the eavesdropping program, the National Security Agency intercepts some phone calls and email in the U.S. without court approval. The Bush administration has withdrawn free credit monitoring for veterans whose personal information was stolen. The White House made the decision after the laptop computer containing their data has been recovered. In a letter to House Speaker Dennis Hastert, Budget Director Rob Portman said he was canceling the request for $160 million in additional funding for a year of free monitoring to millions of vets and active duty troops. Portman said the FBI had determined that the information on the stolen laptop and external drive were not accessed or compromised. Veterans groups have said they should still get the free credit monitoring following the stolen data scandal. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. We are talking with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. If you were good listeners and obedient, you went to his website during the break. For those of you who are not familiar with it, if you are, incorrigible listeners, you didn't go. Brad, I've got a guy on hold here, a Republican. He says he's a Republican from Sacramento. His name is Jeff. And he says you're a phony, that you're scaring people to not vote. Do you want to talk with him?
I would be delighted to talk.
All right. Well, let's bring Jeff up. Mr. Associate Producer Jeff, welcome to the program. Say hi to Brad Friedman.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
All right. Now, Jeff, it says here that you think Brad is a phony. What do you mean?
Well, I've been listening to him on different shows. I listen locally here on Christine, and he's been saying things that, to me, is scaring people unnecessarily, because much of what he is saying, I find to be untrue.
All right, now let's stop right there. You say he's saying things to scare people, and you find most of it to be untrue. What in specifically that Brad Friedman has said do you find to be untrue? Now be specific.
Okay. Well, the election down here in San Diego and the machines that are involved with the election, okay, for one thing, the machines, I noticed that Brad over the time period had kept saying, using the word, let's say, hack. And these machines cannot be hacked. They can
okay,
be
stop, stop. All right, stop there. Brad, Jeff says they can't be hacked.
Well, then he's going to have to, since he's in Sacramento, he may want to walk right on over to the State House there, talk to Secretary of State Bruce McPherson's own team of voting systems security experts, who confirmed in a report issued in February from the UC Berkeley, which said not only can they be hacked, the optical scan, Diebold optical scan systems and the touchscreen systems, but they have additionally found 16 additional ways in which they could be hacked during that study. And then just, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago on the PBS NewsHour, David Jefferson, who is Secretary of State McPherson's own lead scientist, said not only are these concerns real, but the big danger now is that it has been confirmed that one person, once one machine is affected, all of the other machines in that election can also be affected. Now, let me add one thing. Jeff is right in that he should be skeptical. He should hold my feet to the fire, and he should hold every journalist's feet to the fire. Now, because I'm a blog, it's incumbent on me to actually prove what I report, unlike folks like Associated Press, New York Times, Washington Post. So when I report, I will give you information that allows you to independently verify everything that I say. I think that's incumbent upon me.
But I
believe I can back up everything that I say. There are links to information from which I am reporting.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, Jeff, do you trust the Secretary of State of the state of California, or is he a liar too?
I have been constantly talking to Bruce McDonald about this. Oh, let me see. I have been talking to the Secretary of State, and I talked to Bruce McDonald, who is a Diebold specialist for that office. And I've been talking to San Diego. I've been talking to Ohio on all these accusations of cheating. And, you know, the machines can be tampered with, which is what basically it is. Yeah, but you have to be able to touch the machine. If they, that means that you have to make sure that the chain of custody is secure totally so that it can't be tampered with.
That's right. And down in San Diego, the chain of custody went out the window when they sent these voting machines home with poll workers who stored them in their garages, in their cars, and even the registrar of voters down there in San Diego told me directly that storage in people's cars cannot be considered secure. Look, Bruce McDaniel, I know what you're talking about.
But that's not what happened, though, Fred. Let's see, they took them home, and number one, the machines were triple sealed so that it cannot be unsealed and then be resealed, so that the only way that the seal can come off is when it comes to the polling place the next morning, and all the poll workers are there to witness that the seal was there. And number two, when I was challenging you there, you did one of these things for Pete down there, and I got on a little bit late, but I brought up the point about the fact that these seals were there, and you keep bringing up old newscasts about these seals that happened in 2004. So it almost feels like I'm trying to get you to say, did something happen in 2006 that would say that?
Okay. Look, I want to end this discussion, but I just want to ask you one thing, Jeff. Why do you feel it's important to you to believe that these voting machines are not capable of being tampered with and are not, in fact, in the face of all the evidence of what happened in Ohio? Why do you insist on saying, no, the system is secure? Do you genuinely believe that?
Well, see, I started this.
I need a quick answer here, Jeff. Do you genuinely believe that the voting machine system of casting your ballot is secure?
I believe it's as secure as can be.
No, you're hedging your answer there. Let me hedge the question. Do you believe it's secure enough to record accurately what people are voting?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And let me jump in, Mike, if I could.
Sure.
Say, if Jeff can provide a single computer scientist or computer security expert who will come forward and say that these voting machines are secured, I'd be delighted to find it.
All right. Now, why is that, Jeff?
In the country.
Jeff, why is that? Why do people who understand these machines to a far greater degree than you or I ever will, and to the last person, they say these things are eminently hackable and cannot be counted on as being secure? Are they lying too?
There has not been one incident where there's any...
Okay. All right. I give up. Jeff, I appreciate your call, but I'm going to let you go now. Thanks a lot. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. I'm not that good of a talk show host, Brad, that I can keep that kind of discussion going. After a while, I just want to start stuffing pencils into my eye sockets.
Listen, I love those guys because... You know, I counter them with actual information.
It doesn't matter. You gave him actual information. You need to be. Are you a talk show host? You need to have a talk program on a regular basis, and then you can go insane because you sound very rational, very sane, like a really good guy. I used to be that way.
Got to you, didn't
I? Oh, big time! All right, we've got 2 minutes left here, Brad. What is a very important thing you want this particular audience to hear from you tonight?
Let me give you just 2 points. One, to finish up with that fella, to say that this guy he's talking to at the Secretary of State's office, Bruce McDonald, actually has documents that he has put out on official Secretary of State stationery that has been written by Diebold employees, a guy by the name of Rob Pelletier. So they are in the State House in Sacramento.
Whistleblower.
Working out of the State House with Bruce McPherson.
Now, you're talking about a whistleblower action?
No, not in this case. Those whistleblower actions, you're referring to perhaps Bobby Kennedy's suit.
Oh, yeah, that's the Kennedy-Papantonio thing. Okay.
Yeah, those are whistleblowers that I actually originally reported on over at Brad Blog. I passed over to those guys. Those suits are going to be great when you get to see what they are. No, but I'm saying inside the State House, it has actually been shown, blackboxvoting.org had the documents that showed that, in fact, a Diebold employee is now writing documents, a fellow by the name of Rob Pelletier, writing documents for Bruce McPherson. The other thing I want to throw in here, we're fighting like hell. The citizen patriots, this army of ragtag citizen patriots down there in San Diego are trying to hold off a tsunami of corruption from this registrar, Michael Haas. And that election is not about Busby or Bilbray. It's not about California. It is about November, and they need support so they can go to court and hold this guy accountable. Please, folks, support them. It's the most important action between now and November. Go to velvetrevolution.us, if you could. And please donate so that all of that money will be used towards the actions to demand accountability in this CA50 Busby Bilbray race to affect now what will happen in November. You cannot wait until these elections are over. That's what we've, you know, found out down there more than anything in this battle.
All right, Brad, it's velvetrevolution.us.
That's it.
Okay, Brad, thank you so much. We need to stay in closer touch, and I hope you're going to be back on the program again soon.
I'm here for you at a moment's notice, anytime, Mike.
Well, I really do appreciate what you and a couple other people got started. You guys may go down in history as the people who made a real effort to save this democracy. Thanks a lot, Brad.
Thank you, brother. Thank you
right.
for banging the drum.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Small towns are known for their quiet lifestyle, their hospitality.
We don't get many of anybody around here.
He must be the new sheriff, Jack Carter.
And their secrets.
You will be charged with treason if you tell anyone what you see here.
But in the town of Eureka, the secrets are top secret.
Where are you taking me? Area 51?
Time is unraveling. The laws of physics are breaking down.
Love small towns.
A Sci-Fi Channel original series, Eureka, premieres tonight at 9, 8 Central.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
now the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
22 past the hour. This affects you even if you're not a recipient or user of the Medicare prescription drug benefit. You know, you may be too young for that, but this does affect you because you probably have a relative, if not your own parents, your grandparents, or somebody in your family who is using that system. And it is very clear now what's going to happen on September 22nd. That's 2 months from now. The average Medicare-eligible American will fall into that so-called donut hole that will force seniors to pay the full cost of their prescription drugs on top of Medicare Part D's costly monthly premiums. This is what rational, reasonable people were warning about when the Bush crime family and its whores in the House and the Senate passed this thing. This is the donut hole is this gap in coverage for people whose annual drug costs are between $2,250 and $5,100. When you get to $2,250, in order to get to $5,100, you have to pay everything out of pocket. Now, the Democrats, of course, specifically Jan Schakowsky, Marion Barry, and Darlene Hooley, they are respectively from Illinois, Arkansas, and Oregon, have joined Campaign for America's future co-director, Robert Borisage, at a press conference that occurred today, urging Congress to provide, you know, please, a simple, affordable, guaranteed drug benefit program before that donut hole event devastates millions of Americans this September. This is why conservatives can't govern. Surely you understand this. If you're a fence sitter, you know, most of the people listen to this program, I realize I'm preaching to the choir, but we also have some conservatives who would never admit that they listen to this program, and that's okay. I understand your cowardice. You're a conservative. There are a lot of fence sitters who listen to this program who are not sure if they want to continue their own crucifixion or get the hell off the fence and become liberal progressive Democrats and save their own damn country. But I can't understand why conservatives who are not elected officials continue to support conservatives who are. Don't you people understand that the conservatives you send to Washington will cut your throat and giggle while you bleed to death? Don't you understand that? Here's another example. When the Republicans put together this filthy Part D, so-called, of the Medicare drug coverage, they could have allowed Medicare, for example, to negotiate for lower drug prices, like, oh, I don't know, that communist organization, the Veterans Administration, does. They negotiate for drug prices, and that's what ostensibly keeps the price of drugs for veterans down. Now, of course, that's all based on the premise that the Veterans Administration will be adequately funded by these conservative sons of bitches who hate America and hate veterans and hate women and hate just about everybody except their own damn white-skinned male selves, okay? But that's not what the Republicans decided to do. They decided to eliminate the ability of the trustees of Medicare to negotiate for lower drug prices. In other words, the Republicans, the conservatives, said, no, we're going to be typical here and side with the drug companies. After all, they're the ones that put us and keep us in office, not these dumb old bastardly old people who use the drugs. Now, these dumb old bastardly old people think that they're voting for progress when they vote for us conservatives, but that's only because they are brainwashed and stupid, so we are now going to fleece them. We actually made them believe, ha-ha, that we had passed a Medicare drug benefit. Well, on November 22nd, ha-ha, 7 million of these people are going to find out what we're really, ha-ha, all about.
So I take a look around to see what do I see. And looking like the world's gone just a little crazy. And
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
It's about 26 before the hour. All right, we have some sound for you here from today's White House hand job. Press briefing. Did I actually say that? With Foxy the Snowman, we have four cuts here for you, so let's get to it. Now, this of course, is the day after Bush dropped the S-bomb at the G8 meeting in good old capitalistic Russia through mouthfuls of half-chewed bread, and also gave inappropriate, potentially sexually harassing shoulder massage to a certain female foreign leader who happens to be German, and Germans really don't like that, especially if they're the chancellor of that country. But anyway, the reporters at today's little fest want to know what's really on Raisin Brain's mini-mind about the Mideast violence. Like, you know, is he really giving Israel a complete pass and stuff, you know? So a crack White House reporter asked the following of Tony Snow. Tony, if the president is truly concerned about Israel restraining themselves, why hasn't he talked to acting Prime Minister of Israel, Omer, on the phone? And it appears that the United States is giving Israel some breathing room so they can take out and weaken Hezbollah as much as possible.
Okay, so you're assuming because the president hasn't called Olmert that creates breathing room? I'm trying to get the context for the questions. The insinuation there is that there is either active military planning, collusion, or collaboration between the United States and Israel, and there just isn't. Oh. Israel is proceeding in the manner it sees fit to defend itself and its territory. The United States actually has been in the lead of the diplomatic efforts, issuing repeated calls for restraint.
What?
But at the same time, putting together an international consensus that we got to remember is responsible for this. Hezbollah.
I thought it was Clinton.
Hezbollah started this, and Iran and Syria, its backers, ought to be using their influence to get Hezbollah to stop firing rockets and to return the soldiers.
So you see, when you have an administration or a spokesperson for this corrupt, unable to govern, conservative Bush crime family, those are the kinds of answers you get. We have to remember that Hezbollah started this. Oh my God. Okay, let's move on. Now you got to hear this back and forth with Helen Thomas, who the snow job accuses of being a spokeswoman for Hezbollah. Isn't that nice? Huh? Helen doesn't get rattled by it, and you have to listen closely because Tony Snow is a big old white man who has his colon cancer under control. And Helen Thomas is an 80-something-year-old woman who is struggling to find some kind of sense and rationality in these White House press briefings, although if she were to ask me, I would tell her to give it up. She is also the woman that Ann Coulter referred to as that, what was it, that wrinkled old Arab? Isn't that how she referred to? Because Helen Thomas happens to be of Lebanese extraction. Helen Thomas begins thus. Tony, the United States is not that helpless. It could have stopped the bombardment of Lebanon. We have that much control with the Israelis. We have gone now for collective punishment against all of Lebanon and Palestine. And this is what's happening. And that's the perception of the United States.
Well, thank you for the Hezbollah view, but I would encourage you.
Nobody's accepting your explanation. What is restraint? You call for
restraint. I'll tell you what's interesting, Helen, is people have. The G8 was completely united on this, and as you know, when it comes to issues of
ceasefire, why?
We didn't stop a ceasefire. Let me continue. I'll tell you what. We didn't even veto. Please get your facts right. What happened was that the G8 countries made a pretty clear determination that the guilty party here was Hezbollah. The Israelis are responding as they see fit. You will note the countries that disagree with the government of Israel in terms of its general approach on Palestine. Many of our European allies agree.
Why did we veto a ceasefire?
We didn't veto a ceasefire.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't. There was no ceasefare. I'm sorry.
A resolution?
No.
At the UN?
No, the UN, no. You know what you've done. I see what you... what happened was that there was conversation about, quote, a ceasefire that was picked up on some of the microphone when some colorful language made its way into the airwaves yesterday.
No veto at the UN.
No, there hasn't been a resolution at the VN, the UN, whatever it is.
Yeah, almost as retarded as Bush, aren't you, you half-wit? Well, in fact, there was a veto at the UN. And if Tony Snell were a rational, honest human being, he would have acknowledged that the U.S. vetoed a resolution presented to the United Nations Security Council by Arab nations seeking increased pressure on Israel to stop attacking the Gaza. The measure, sponsored in the Security Council by Qatar, was supported by 10 of the other 14 members. Britain, Denmark, Peru, and Slovakia abstained in the vote. U.S. Ambassador John Bolton told reporters before the vote, "We didn't think any useful purpose would be served by a resolution or council action with respect to the situation in Gaza. Israel has a right of self-defense." So now is Helen Thomas, has Helen Thomas got it right? She's talking about a veto by the United States of a ceasefire agreement. She's referring to Gaza. Whether or not she thinks she's referring to Lebanon, I don't know. But this arrogant son of a bitch, Tony Snow, could have paused for a second with his propagandist bull squat and said to Helen Thomas, "Helen, be specific. What resolution are you referring to?" And then he could have answered her question. But no, it's more important to this white-ass punk to go ahead and beat up on the old lady. That's a lot of fun, isn't it, Tony?
The man can't spell UN. What do you expect?
Well, that's true. What do you call it? The VN? Jesus.
Sounds like something you need a penicillin shot for.
Well, that's true. So another reporter wants to ask about this supposed restraint Bush is calling Israel to use. The reporter says, "Tony, one of the things the president did sign on to was calling for restraint by the Israelis and watching out for civilian targeting. Does the president thus far have any problem with what the Israelis have been targeting, given the fact that they've hit a lot of civilians?"
I'm not going to get it. I'm not going.
But the president called for restraint.
The president has called for the president has called for restraint. And frankly, Martha, unless you or I have been in on the meetings that talk about targeting, it is beyond our competence to judge precisely the methods by which they've done it, because neither you nor I know the intelligence that went into it or the precautions that have been made. And it's a good argumentative question, and I really don't have an answer.
Well, you don't have to know what the precautions that were made, you half-wit. All you have to look at what is being destroyed and who's dying. God, I hate these people. Martha Raddatz is another one of the few in this White House press corps who will insist on getting her question out to this half-wit. And Tony Snow talked over her when she said, "But the president called for restraint. You have no problem with what's already been targeted?" That was her question. You want to see what's being targeted by the Israeli military? Here's a website for you. AngryArab.blogspot.com. AngryArab.blogspot.com. Now, this comes with a warning. You will see blown to pieces dead Lebanese children there. So, be warned. Now, blown to pieces dead children is certainly not unique in the Middle East, is it? AngryArab.blogspot.com. Last one for the evening. Nothing to do with the Mideast crises, a whole list of them. This one's about how Bush plans to finally exercise his veto power for the first time, using it in his own little personal war on science and medicine, in order to satisfy these hysterical rapture right freakoid fake Christians who get all frothy about, well, you've got to suffer! So So he's going to exercise his veto to stop federal funding for stem cell research. This is schadenfreude of the highest degree, but wouldn't you get some kind of pleasure 5 years down the road when private research does go ahead with the embryonic stem cell research and does come up with a cure for this or a response to that disease? And then one of these self-righteous sons of bitches who is suffering with these diseases, who voted against this research, shows up at his doctor's office with his tongue on the ground asking for the very the results of the very medical research that he did everything in his power to prevent from going forward. And wouldn't it be nice if the doctor, of course this will never happen because he's a doctor, but if who knows, given what happened in New Orleans today, but if the doctor said, go to hell, go pray for a cure to your disease, you freak. So anyway, we have to play any sound clip where a member of the Bush crime family talks about snowflakes. You know, frozen embryos. It's so distasteful, so sick, so Rick Santorum, the dead baby fondler. So the reporter says, Tony, on stem cell, will there be a ceremony for the veto, for the signing of the veto statement? Can you remind us why the president believes that it is not appropriate to use, that it is more appropriate for stem cells to be thrown away than to be used, in this case, for medical research?
The president, I don't think that's the choice that the president has presented. What the president has said is that he doesn't want human life destroyed. Now you may consider that insignificant, but the president has said, and you have had in a number of cases, you know, the snowflake babies, where some of those fetuses have in fact been brought to term and have become human beings. The president believes strongly that for the purpose of research, it's inappropriate for the federal government to finance something that many people consider murder. He's one of them. The simple answer is he thinks murder's wrong.
Unless it's Carla Faye Tucker or thousands of innocent Muslims or Iraqi babies or Palestinian babies or Lebanese babies or, if you really get down to it, Jewish or Israeli babies or Iranian babies or if it's some little glot of cells, then George Bush wants to satisfy his mouth-breathing base by not murdering them. But if it's anything else, then murder is good giggly great, right? Oh, we try. You know, we're sorry for the collateral damage. What, the little girl had her arms blown off? Oh, well, what are you going to say? Oh, the little girl had her head blown off? Oh, well, what are you going to do? The United States greatly regrets any action that results in children being blown to pieces, but we'll make up for it by guarding with our very goddamn lives and sacred honor a tub full of embryos.
But when we get ahead, we get another mouth to feed. And that's the reason that my good looks and my figure is gone.
And that's the reason that I ain't got no hair to comb.
And you're the reason our kids are ugly, little darling.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys, and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at AirAmerica.com.
Thank you.
And we're a country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young, innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
And we cry so hard that we then load up our smart missiles and go blow up a few dozen more. Sorry, it's collateral damage. The list of Senate humanitarians who voted against H.R. 810, the Stem Cell Research Enhancement Act, this afternoon, that, by the way, the vote was 63-37, which is about, what is that, about three shy to make it veto-proof. One Democrat joined in this this nonsense, and that was, you know, Bob Geiger's journal at Democratic Underground writes, how hard was it to guess that it was Ben Nelson of Nebraska? He makes Joe Lieberman look like Ted Kennedy. Geiger also writes, in addition, the roll call is good news for the campaign of Democrat Sherrod Brown in Ohio, as Mike DeWine, in an act of election year political suicide, opted to stand next to the Opus Dei boys, Brownback and Santorum. Yeah. So if you go to democraticunderground.com on the main page, just find Bob Geiger's journal. You can see the list of Republicans who voted to support suffering and pain and anguish and, in some instances, early death. They couldn't stand the idea, for example, of seeing Stephen Hawking up and out of his wheelchair and talking other than with a voice-activated computer. That would just be against Jesus' will, I guess. I don't know. These people had a religious bias against embryonic stem cell research. What they are talking about using are frozen embryos, as Tony Snow refers to them, snowflakes, that are going to be destroyed anyway. They're going to be flushed down some laboratory commode anyway. You know, I thought this was settled, this sort of dominance by Christian fanatics somewhere around the 11th or 12th century, where it concerned the little bit of science that was leaking out after the 600-year period of the Dark Ages in Europe, where the Christians so dominated everything that decisions and advancements, so-called, were made by monks chanting and eating weird herbs or something. I don't know. But here we are. The Christian fundamentalists, you know, why get involved in stem cell research? Jesus is coming. Haven't you heard the good news? He's coming back. And we're all going to be raptured into the air. And we're going to be naked. Oh, blush, blush. Oh, sorry, but you know. So what difference does it make? Reagan, Secretary of the Interior, what was his name? The one that made the famous comments about why save the forests? The apocalypse, the rapture is coming anyway. James Watt, that's who it was. You would think that these psychos who believe this nonsense would understand that none of this is this rapture nonsense is mentioned in the Bible, in their own holy text. It was put together in the 1840s or the 1850s in a wave of spiritual gagging that occurred in this country called, what, the First or the Second Great Awakening? I guess it was the Great Awakening, where a couple of itinerant former tin pot salesmen who decided they could make more money from the gullible by wandering around the country with tent meetings, talking to them about something called the rapture. That's where it comes from. But we have members of the United States Senate who are so committed to this nonsense that they will do everything in their power, which is to vote no, to stop medical scientific research into the essential elements of disease and genetic disfiguration and how to cure it, how to fix it, how to make it go the hell away. No, that's God's job, you see. When we all die and go to heaven, God, well, whoever goes, God's going to give everybody a new body. So, and besides, Christ suffered on the cross. You got to suffer. You got cancer? It's painful? Sorry. You got multiple sclerosis? Sorry. You got cystic fibrosis? Oh, sorry. You know, it was no walk in the park for Jesus either, so shut up and suffer. Oh, my God.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Israel continues to batter Hezbollah positions in Lebanon with airstrikes just south of the Beirut area and the edge of its southern suburb. There was no immediate word about casualties. Witnesses reported heavy gunfire in central Gaza early Wednesday as Israeli troops clashed with Palestinian militants, with one Palestinian reported wounded. Meanwhile, President Bush is placing the blame for the violence in the Mideast squarely on the shoulders of the militant group Hezbollah.
And the root cause of that current instability is terrorism and terrorist attacks on a democratic country. And in order to be able to deal with this crisis, the world must deal with Hezbollah, with Syria, and to continue to work to isolate Iran.
During a meeting with lawmakers Tuesday, Bush remarked that Hezbollah started the fighting with an unprovoked attack on Israel. He indicated the U.S. would also react strongly if it had faced such an attack. Bush said Israel has a right to defend itself, but should be careful not to harm Lebanon's young government. Oil prices fell again Tuesday following comments by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice advocating a ceasefire in Lebanon. Despite a presidential veto pledge, the Senate has approved legislation authorizing federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. Correspondent Terry Moore has that story.
Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter said embryonic stem cell research holds a world of promise.
Stem cells, embryonic stem cells, have the flexibility for the potential to cure Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, heart disease, and cancer. It is my view that it is a clear-cut question to use embryos to save lives, because otherwise they will be destroyed.
But President Bush vows to veto the legislation. White House spokesman Tony Snow.
The president is not going to get on the slippery slope of taking something that is living and making it dead for the purpose of research.
I'm Terry Moore in Washington.
Methamphetamine remains the top drug problem in America's counties. A survey of county law enforcement officials found that meth use remains especially popular in the western U.S. and is spreading east. The survey found that much of the meth in U.S. counties is coming from Mexico and notes that meth-related crime continues to rise. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. This is Air America. Do you know who Uri Avneri is, or Yuri Avneri? He's 83 years old. He is an Israeli journalist and peace activist. He was a member of the Knesset from 1965 to 1973, and again from 1979 to 1981. When he was a young man, he was a member of the Zionist paramilitary group Irgun, whose membership also included most of the first and second cabinets of the Israeli government. These are people who fought against the Palestinians for the establishment of the State of Israel. In the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, he was a fighter in what was referred to as Samson's Foxes. It was a jeep unit. Afterwards, he wrote a book about the war called In the Fields of Philistia. During the 1950s and the 1960s, he was the publisher and chief editor of Ha'olam Hazeh. I'm probably mispronouncing it, a weekly magazine. It was an anti-establishment tabloid known for its many sensational scoops, it says here. The formula seemed to work, as for many years it was Israel's leading alternative media publication. He later turned to left-wing activism and founded the Gush Shalom movement, which is, I believe it's Hebrew for the peace movement or the peace bloc, and he leads that to this day. He is a devout secularist and strongly opposed to the Orthodox influence in religious and political life, and on and on and on. He writes the following. A woman, an immigrant from Russia, throws herself on the ground in total despair in front of her home that has been hit by a missile, crying in broken Hebrew, my son, believing him dead. In fact, he's only wounded and sent to the hospital. Lebanese children covered with wounds in Beirut hospitals. The funeral of the victims of a missile in Haifa. The ruins of a whole devastated quarter in Beirut. Inhabitants of the north of Israel fleeing south from the Katusha. Inhabitants of the south of Lebanon fleeing north from the Israeli Air Force. Death, destruction, unimaginable human suffering. And the most disgusting sight, George Bush, in a playful mood, sitting on his chair in St. Petersburg, Russia, with his loyal servant Tony Blair leaning over him and solving the problem. See, what they need to do is get Syria and to get Hezbollah to stop doing that blank, and it's over. Thus spake the leader of the world, and the seven dwarfs say amen. Syria? But only a few months ago, it was Bush, yes, the same Bush, who induced the Lebanese to drive the Syrians out of their country. Now he wants them to intervene in Lebanon and impose order. 31 years ago, when the Lebanese civil war was at its height, the Syrians sent their army into Lebanon, invited of all people by the Christians. At the time, the then Minister of Defense, Shimon Peres, and his associates created hysteria in Israel. They demanded that Israel deliver an ultimatum to the Syrians to prevent them from reaching the Israeli border. Yitzhak Rabin, the prime minister, told me then that that was sheer nonsense, because the best that could happen to Israel was for the Syrian army to spread out along the border. Only thus could calm be assured, the same calm that reigned along our border with Syria. However, Rabin gave in to the hysteria of the media and stopped the Syrians far from the border. The vacuum thus created was filled by the PLO. In 1982, Ariel Sharon pushed the PLO out, and the vacuum was filled by Hezbollah. All that has happened there since then would not have happened if we had allowed the Syrians to occupy the border from the beginning. The Syrians are cautious. They do not act recklessly. What was Hassan Nasrallah thinking of when he decided to cross the border and carry out the guerrilla action that started the current witches' Sabbath? Why did he do it, and why at this time? Everybody agrees that Nasrallah is a clever person. He is also prudent. For years he has been assembling a huge stockpile of missiles of all kinds to establish a balance of terror. He knew that the Israeli army was only waiting for an opportunity to destroy them. In spite of that, he carried out a provocation that provided the Israeli government with a perfect pretext to attack Lebanon with the full approval of the world. Why? Possibly he was asked by Iran and Syria, who had supplied him with the missiles, to do something to divert American pressure from them. And indeed, the sudden crisis has shifted attention away from the Iranian nuclear effort, and it seems that Bush's attitude towards Syria also has changed. But Nasrallah is far from being a marionette to Iran or Syria. He heads an authentic Lebanese movement and calculates his own balance sheet of pros and cons. If he had been asked by Iran and or Syria to do something, for which there is no proof, and he saw that it was contrary to the aims of his movement, he would have not done it. Perhaps he acted because of domestic Lebanese concerns. The Lebanese political system was becoming more stable, and it was becoming more difficult to justify the military wing of Hezbollah. A new armed incident could have helped. But all this does not explain the timing. After all, Nasrallah could have acted a month before, or a year later, a year before, or a year later. There must have been a much stronger reason to convince him to enter upon such an adventure at precisely this time. And indeed there was. Palestine. 2 weeks ago, the Israeli army had started a war against the population of the Gaza Strip. There, too, the pretext was provided by a guerrilla action in which an Israeli soldier was captured. The Israeli government used the opportunity to carry out a plan prepared long ago to break the Palestinians' will to resist and to destroy the newly elected Palestinian government dominated by Hamas, and, of course, to stop and of course to stop the Palestinians. The operation in Gaza is an especially brutal one, and that is how it looks on the world's TV screens. Terrible pictures from Gaza appear daily and hourly in the Arab media. Dead people, wounded people, devastation, lack of water and medical care for the wounded and sick, whole families killed, children screaming in agony, mothers weeping, buildings collapsing. The Arab regimes, which are all dependent on America, did nothing to help. Since they are also threatened by Islamic opposition movements, they looked at what was happening to Hamas with some schadenfreude. But tens of millions of Arabs from the Atlantic Ocean to the Persian Gulf saw, got excited and angry with their government, crying out for a leader who would bring succor to their besieged heroic brothers. 50 years ago, Gamal Abdel Nasser, the new Egyptian leader, wrote that there was a role waiting for a hero. He decided to be that hero himself. For several years, he was the idol of the Arab world, symbol of Arab unity. But Israel used an opportunity that presented itself and broke him in the Six-Day War. After that, the star of Saddam Hussein arose in the firmament. He dared to stand up to mighty America and to launch missiles at Israel and became the hero of the Arab masses, but he was routed in a humiliating manner by the Americans, spurred on by Israel. A week ago, Nasrallah faced the same temptation. The Arab world was crying out for a hero, and he said, "Here am I." He challenged Israel, and indirectly the United States and the entire West. He started the attack without allies, knowing that neither Iran nor Syria could risk helping him. Perhaps he got carried away, like Nasser and Saddam before him. Perhaps he misjudged the force of the counterattack he could expect. Perhaps he really believed that under the weight of his rockets, the Israeli rear would collapse. As the Israeli army believed that the Israeli onslaught would break the Palestinian people in Gaza and the Shiites in Lebanon. One thing is clear. Nasrallah would not have started this vicious circle of violence if the Palestinians had not called for help. Either from cool calculation or from true moral outrage or from both, Nasrallah rushed to the rescue of beleaguered Palestine. The Israeli reaction could have been expected. For years, the army commanders had yearned for an opportunity to eliminate the missile arsenal of Hezbollah and destroy that organization, or at least disarm it and push it far, far from the border. They are trying to do this the only way they know, by causing so much devastation that the Lebanese population will stand up and compel its government to fulfill Israel's demands. Will these aims be achieved? Hezbollah is the authentic representative of the Shiite community, which makes up 40% of the Lebanese population. Together with other Muslims, they are the majority in the country. The idea that the weakling Lebanese government, which in any case includes Hezbollah, would be able to liquidate the organization is ludicrous. The Israeli government demands that the Lebanese army be deployed along the border. This has now by now become a mantra. It reveals total ignorance. The Shiites occupy important positions in the Lebanese army, and there is no chance at all that it would start a fratricidal war against them. Abroad, another idea is taking shape, that an international force should be deployed on the border. The Israeli government objects to this strenuously. A real international force, unlike the helpless UNIFIL, which has been there for decades, would hinder the Israeli army from doing whatever it wants. Moreover, if it were deployed there, without the agreement of Hezbollah, a new guerrilla war would start against it. Would such a force, without real motivation, succeed where the mighty Israeli army was routed? At most, this war, with its hundreds of dead and waves of destruction, will lead to another delicate armistice. The Israeli government will claim victory and argue that it has changed the rules of the game. Nasrallah or his successors will claim that their small organization has stood up to one of the mightiest military machines in the world and written another shining chapter of heroism in the annals of Arab and Muslim history. No real solution will be achieved because there is no treatment of the root of the matter, the Palestinian problem. All in your children again. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
We tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
It's 22 past the hour. As reported in the Times today, Senator Hillary Clinton said yesterday that she supported, quote, whatever steps are necessary, unquote, to defend Israel against Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and Syria, and the military conflict in the Middle East. It says, addressing a crowd of several thousand in Midtown at an impassioned rally for Israel, she said America must show, quote, solidarity and support, close quote, for Israel in the face of, quote, unwarranted, unprovoked, close quote, seizure of three Israeli soldiers by members of Hamas and Hezbollah, which she described as among, quote, the new totalitarians of the 21st century, end quote. Mrs. Clinton, who joined two dozen political and religious leaders on a stage a few blocks from the UN headquarters on the east side, said, quote, we will stand with Israel because Israel is standing for American values as well as Israeli ones, end quote. And it goes on and on. You can read this in today's Times, read it online. I wonder if Hillary Clinton could, just for a moment, cease and desist from the pandering to this particular audience and ask for justice dignity for everybody in the Middle East, Jew as well as Arab, Christian as well as agnostic, for everyone who is being blown to pieces. I wonder if Hillary Clinton could find it in herself to condemn the Israelis for kidnapping 8,000, as many as 8,000, who knows, because the Israelis apparently use the same process that the United States now uses. Arrest people, seize them first, arrest them, put them in detention, do not charge them, do not allow them representation, let them rot. But maybe Hillary Rodham Clinton could show the same sort of concern for three soldiers. Perhaps she could show that same concern for 8,000 Palestinian civilians. Are any of those Palestinians being held in Israeli prisons so-called terrorists? Possibly. Maybe even probably. But do you suppose how many of them do you suppose are not? How many of them are people who simply have been swept up the way we have swept people up and taken them to Guantanamo or Bagram or various hidden parts of our United States gulag around the world? How many of those people in Israeli jails who are Palestinians are innocent of anything? I don't know. Does Hillary Rodham Clinton know? But that was the message that the people at this rally wanted to hear, especially from Mrs. Clinton, because, you see, when she was First Lady, she stirred suspicion, it says here, among some Jews, that her devotion to Israel was less than absolute. Ah, this is what it requires now, to be an American president. Absolute devotion to Israel, not conditional devotion, not nothing in there about requirements for justice. No, not so. Absolute devotion. Oh my God. Is that how New York Jews feel about Hillary Rodham Clinton? I can't believe that. But that's what the New York Times said today. Remember, did she kiss or hug Yasser Arafat's wife, Suha? Remember that? Helen Friedman, executive director of Americans for a Safe Israel, who attended the rally, said, quote, I thought her remarks were very good, especially in light of her history. And we can't forget her kiss to Suha. Uh-huh. Absolute devotion. Absolute devotion to Israel in order for Hillary Rodham Clinton to secure the support of Jewish voters in New York. Is that true? Is that what is needed here? I wish I knew the answer.
1961, they took this child into their home. A wonderful world became a friend. And the culture that was Lebanon. If I could find them now, could I make amends? How does the story end?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
I'm so busy at work, Dr. Phil, I don't have any time ever, and I wouldn't know where to look.
Well, don't just sit around whining about what you don't have. Go out and create what and who you wish was in your life.
Somehow, I knew you were going to say that.
Look, don't dream, do. Don't want, get.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
We'll be right back.
be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Six before the hour. Let's do some phone calls here. Rico is calling from Bloomfield, New Jersey. Rico, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mr. Malloy. It's an honor to speak to you. You are the most skilled talk show host I've listened to in 25 years.
Okay. Okay. Now, that's what you really called about.
Okay. To go back to that voting machine issue, that man was very clear. And the interesting thing is the woman that you had on after that talked to him. What you're going to find is, you know, that's an older generation. Anybody that has written a single program in their life knows that what's displayed on the screen or what's sent to the printer does not have to be what's written to the file. So the younger kids now know that voting this way, there's a host of ways it can be tampered with, and it's a joke. So, you know, the hope is with the young kids that you know, 10 years, these 15-year-olds, 6 years from now when they're voting, they're not going to stand for that kind of process because they know that they could adjust it themselves. So.
Right. Well, the problem is trying to convince people who are not young, who are not computer literate to the extent that you're bringing up, that their vote is no longer matters. And the reason it's difficult, I think, to convince a lot of people is because conservatives or Republicans advocate cheating. They are cheaters. They know that their political philosophy or their social philosophy is defunct. It's no good. It's divisive. It's murderous. It causes people to get sick and die. And they don't care if the machines are being tampered with, as long as they're being tampered with in their favor. And that's how they see this. I think anyone who votes understands who owns these machines. The Democrats who vote, who understand who owns the machines, are starting to get concerned. The Republicans who vote and understand who owns and programs these machines couldn't care less because magically the machines always make the error in favor of Republicans and conservatives. So they don't care. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, they're on top now. The thing with when you were saying about the young kids versus the old kids, you got to remember that the Republicans and the conservatives, whatever you want to call them, they have been planning out what's got them to this point for 20 plus years, you know? We might not be able to change it in a few years, but if you take the long view and say, well, in 10 years, when those young people that know what's going on are voting, we might just have to invest in 10, you know, for 10 years before we get what we want.
Well, that's probably true, possibly longer than 10 years. But I've talked about that on this program. As a matter of fact, Rico, I think it will take longer, and I'm not so sure about the young people coming up. Maybe half of them who believe in progress and believe in liberalism, who believe in decency and justice and peace and honor. But the other half of these young people coming up are being raised by these conservative fundamentalist freaks who are polluting these kids' minds to the point. Who was it that said, give me a child till he's five, I'll give you a Catholic for life? And I think the same thing holds true with conservatism. In this country especially, these conservative parents are teaching their children to hate, to be distrustful, to be suspicious, to not believe in justice, to not believe in science, to not believe in the truth. So I don't know if I share your optimism, if that's what you were expressing. I'm very concerned about what's...
I wouldn't say I have optimism. I sort of share your pessimism as well. But if you are going to be optimistic, those people that are teaching their kids not to have science, they're going to all be working at McDonald's, and it's going to be the engineers that are going to be running the world. So there's some hope in that.
Well, there is. There is indeed. Rico, let me move on. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Thanks for your time. Philip is calling from San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hi there, Mike. To add what Brad was talking about, here today they had a press conference, and it was with the
San Diego Democratic Party, asking for the county supervisors to have an open hearing with the public about the problem with the elections. Also, the California Senate is going to launch a review of the voting practices as well. Now, this problem with the machines going over for sleepovers wasn't the only problem here. As early as June 3rd, the primary was on June 6th. As early as June 3rd, there was an article in the San Diego Union-Tribune about problems with this election. So the bottom line is, here in San Diego, they're going to want to make this into a liberal versus conservative, Democrat versus Republican situation. And one thing Brad said in his press conference at DemFest that was really important was, it's not a really a matter of whether Busby won, whether Bill Bray won, whether it's Democrat, Republican. It's a matter of right and wrong. And the fact of the matter is that these machines were taken home after stringent regulations, like he said during the first part of the program, were put in place both federally and statewide. So that decertified the machines and, in a sense, made all those votes cast on those machines illegal.
Mm. Wow.
So I hope this guy that called in during Brad is listening, because I did get another email from the people he got the information from that said these machines aren't hackable. I got one that says, let's see, it says the moon is actually made of cheese.
Right.
Dumb bastard. He wins the Dumb Bastard of the Month award. And speaking of which, Hillary Clinton, I just want to comment on that real quick. You know, American values, what American values is she talking about now? Preemptively blowing up a country, blowing up kids. I could do a two-hour program on that, but I just wanted to fill you in on what was happening today as far as the Diebold machine and the 50th District stuff was going.
All right, well, thanks, Philip. I appreciate you checking in. Someone just sent this to me. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says, U.S. Senator Russ Feingold today defended Israel's right to protect itself amid the escalating conflict along its borders, saying, quote, I don't think any country is going to let their soldiers be kidnapped, transported, killed without a serious response, end quote. Feingold said he would not second-guess, quote, whether that response was exactly as it should be, close quote. Feingold said, quote, my hope would be that Israel would use as much restraint as possible. It's in Israel's interest and the interest of peace. But I do think Israel has not only a right, but also a responsibility to respond to the Hezbollah attack, close quote. When a constituent at the Wisconsin session, which is where this occurred, I guess, criticized both the Palestinians and the Israeli government for taking a dysfunctional approach to the conflict and said the U.S. needed to lean on Israel to change its behavior, Feingold offered a different view. He said, quote, there's blame to go around for everybody, but he argued that Israel has been acting constructively in recent years and blamed Hezbollah, Iran, and Syria for provoking the current crisis. Feingold said of Israel, they are facing a two-front war now, and it's a tiny country. Feingold posted a statement on his website Friday saying, quote, I stand firmly with the people of Israel and their government as they defend themselves against these outrageous attacks, end quote. I wonder if Senator Feingold is the least bit interested in justice. I wonder if Senator Feingold is the least bit interested in the literally thousands of Palestinians who have been kidnapped and placed in Israeli jails, some of them who have been there for 5, 10, 15, 20 years without charge, without trial. I just wonder. No American politician that I'm aware of speaks out, whether it's Republicans, very few Democrats that I'm aware of, and I can't think of any offhand, will speak out against the atrocities committed by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, or the Israeli government against Palestinian Arabs. Who speaks for those people? Who talks about the collective punishment hammered onto the Palestinian people? Who talks about these filthy, defunct, just horrifying refugee camps? Who talks about the fact that Gaza represents the most densely populated area on the face of the earth? It makes downtown Calcutta look spacious. Who talks about this? Who talks about the sickness and disease and death and destruction? Who talks about the daily humiliation of Palestinians trying to go about their business? No, I'm not talking about terrorists. I'm not talking about suicide bombers. I'm talking about people just trying to live. Who talks about that? Does anybody anywhere, on any network, on any radio station, in any newspaper, on any network, anywhere in this country, talk about those people without qualifying whatever they say by saying, on the other hand, the Israelis have a right to defend themselves? Who talks about this?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
no subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Ten before the hour. The program tonight was engineered by Justin Yuen and Stan Stolfiak in New York. Thanks, guys. David Weissman answered your calls tonight. Thank you, David. Also, thanks to Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch at the WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, who all contribute to this program. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. My anti-Israel bias? Oh, Jesus. Okay, let's do it. Paul is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Paul, yes. Talk about my anti-Israel bias.
You have to understand what it's like to be a Jew and hear someone spew out Jew-hating venom. I listen to your program constantly, and I think you're a vital message in this world. But the whole world, for 2.5 millennia, has said, Jews, we kill you. What you're supposed to do is lie down so we can kill some more.
Isn't that what the Israeli government is now saying to the Palestinians?
And the Israeli government is saying...
Excuse me. I didn't interrupt you. Is this not what the Israeli government is saying to the Palestinians? Do you think I want Jews to die? Answer my question.
Well, I think you'd probably not be upset about it.
Goodbye. I mean, don't ever call this program again, ever. You half-wit. You moron. I wouldn't be upset about it. You son of a bitch. I sit here every night talking about the injustice to children, to people, whether they're Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, black, white, I don't care. The audacity of you to call my program and make that statement. Damn you. Now go away. Stay away. Yeah, I should be used to this by now. I get emails. I get all sorts of this kind of scummy, typical complaint. We've suffered for 2,000 years, Malloy, and you want to see us all dead. You sick morons who say that to me. How much clearer can I be? Israel is a state. It is a government. I will criticize it until I am not on the air when it conducts itself like a gang of Nazis. The same way, if you think I will condemn the Bush administration for its acts of aggression, but won't condemn Israel for its acts of aggression, you must be out of your mind. Nasty, nasty comments. Nasty. Anyone who listens to this program or who has listened to me in 25 years of broadcasting knows where I stand on the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Justice, peace for everyone involved. No more death. And for some half-witted jerk like this guy from Santa Fe to call up and make that kind of a statement, do you piss me off? Yes, you succeeded, you right-wing freak. You got me exactly where I live, and you know where I live. I live in my heart where this kind of death and destruction for anybody in the Middle East is unacceptable to me. And I go over this and over this and over this. How dare you call me and make that kind of a statement? Call Limbaugh. Call Hannity. Call those people and make your statements. Don't call me again, ever. Curly is calling from Phoenix. Curly, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, welcome to the show, Curly.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. I've been waiting all day to talk to you. I just wanted to add to what that Jewish man said, you know, when he explained about Hamas and Hezbollah and Israeli attack in Lebanon and stuff.
Now,
are
you talking about the lengthy piece that I read?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with totally with all of that. That was what I was going to talk about. But what he left out was the Bush crime family connection to this. In that I think that the Bush crime family and Israel, you know, I think they knew that Israel was going to do this, and they talked to them about it. And the fact that, you know, like Bush has said, no ceasefire, and Congolese Rice, no ceasefire, and Israel keeps talking about 2 or 3 weeks there. I just want, you know, I think this is all connected with the fall elections, and that for the next 3 weeks on every news show on TV and the radio and in the newspapers, this will be front page, this war in Lebanon. And I'll also be talking about Hezbollah, Hamas, Syria, and Iran. And this is like, I don't think it was any accident that Cheney the other day said that their main focus in the fall elections was going to be on the war on terror. And I think this has all worked together, you know, that, you know, why is Israel saying, you know, and they said that they'll call Congolese Rice, you know, when they're ready to talk and for her to come. And she'll go there and there'll be a ceasefire, and it looked like the Bush administration did it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is all planned out. I think they're staying there for 3 weeks and demolishing Lebanon the way it is, you know, and making out that Hezbollah and Hamas and the link between Syria and Iran is all together. And this is why Cheney, when he said that they're going to focus on the war on terror, they'll use this in the fall elections to bolster their chances of winning.
Well, I'm sure that's the case. I have no doubt that anything that has to do with death and destruction is something that Republicans use in order to further their inability to govern. Conservatives cannot govern. So, yeah, you're probably right. Listen, I have to leave it there. Thanks for checking in, Curly. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, however you did that, except the caller from Santa Fe. You, I hope, burn in hell for making a statement like that. Oh, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Kathy says, oh, don't say that. I can't stand that. You know, I'm to sit here and get that kind of an insult from some moron without responding? No, I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.